தேதத் சத்யம் மந்த்ரேஷு கர்மாணி கவயோ யான்ய பஷ்யன் தானி த்ரேதாயாம் பஹுதா சந்ததானி தான்யாசரத நியதம் சத்யகாமாஹ ஏஷவ பந்தா சுக்ருதஸ்ய லோகே யதா லேலாயதே ஹ்யர்ச்சிஹி சமித்தே ஹவ்ய வாஹனே ததாஜ்ய பாகாவந்தரேண ஆஹுதீஹி ப்ரதிபாதயேத் யஸ்யாக்னிஹோத்ர யஸ்யாக்னிஹோத்ரமதர்ஷமபௌர்ணமாஸம் அசாதுர்மாஸ்யம் அநாக்ரயணம் அதிதிவர்ஜிதஞ்ச அஹுதமைவ அவைஷ்வதேவம் அவிதினாஹுதம் ஆசப்தமாம்ஸ்தஸ்ய லோகான் ஹி நஸ்தி காலீ கராலீ ச மனோஜவாச சுலோஹிதாயா ச சுதூம்ரவர்ணா ஸ்புலிங்கினி விஸ்வருச்சி ச தேவி லேலாயமானா இதி சப்த ஜிஹ்வாஹ ஏதேஷு யஸ்சரதே ப்ராஜமானேஷு யதா காலஞ்சாஹுதயோ ஹ்யாததாயன் தம் நயந்தேதா சூர்யஸ்ய ரஷ்மயஹ யத்ர தேவானாம் பதிரேகோ திவாஸஹ ஏஹ்யேஹீதிதமாஹுதயஸ் சுவர்ச்சஸஹ சூர்யஸ்ய ரஷ்மிபிர் யஜமானம் வஹந்தி ப்ரியாம் வாசமபிவதந்த்யோர்ச்சயந்த்யஹ ஏஷவ புண்ணியசுக்ருதோ ப்ரஹ்மலோகஹ ப்ளவாஹ்யேதே அத்ருடா யஜ்ஞ ரூபாஹ அஷ்டாதசோக்தமவரம் யேஷு கர்ம ஏதச்ச்ரேயோ ஏபிநந்தந்தி மூடாஹ ஜராமிருத்யும் தே புனரேவாபி யந்தி. See, studying Upanishad early in the morning is very, very good, and I make it a point to do the class. It would be very nice for you to learn the mantras thoroughly, understand the meanings thoroughly in the mornings. And still many people don't join because it is happening. I was searching for Sachin, he is there, it's good. And people don't attend the classes, and then they'll come and complain. Oh, we missed the class, we didn't have the class. When I do the class, they don't come. Anyway, I don't know what people are doing. Yehyehiti, okay, no. ப்ளவாஹ்யேதே அத்ருதா யஜ்ஞ ரூபாஹ அஷ்டாதசோக்தமவரம் யேஷு கர்ம ஏதச்ச்ரேயோ ஏபிநந்தந்தி மூடாஹ ஜராமிருத்யும் தே புனரேவாபி யந்தி. So in this 7th mantra which we have seen already, you have done 8th also with that. அவித்யாயாமந்தரே வர்த்தமானாஹ ஸ்வயம் தீராஹ பண்டிதம் மன்யமானாஹ ஜங்கன்யமானாஹ பரியந்தி மூடாஹ அந்தேனைவ நீயமானாய தாந்தாஹ. அவித்யாயாமந்தரே வர்த்தமானாஹ ஸ்வயம் தீராஹ பண்டிதம் மன்யமானாஹ ஜங்கன்யமானாஹ பரியந்தி மூடாஹ அந்தேனைவ நீயமானாய தாந்தாஹ. So in all these verses, Upanishad itself actually condemns people who are holding on to karma and the result of karma as the ultimate goal, and who mistake the karma and the karma phalam as the means of attainment of moksha, and saying that they remain steeped in the ignorance of self, considering themselves to be wise people and learned people, brave people, and these people, they continue to remain in the ocean of samsara, just as the blind people led by the blind fall into the pit. Similarly, these people also, led by their own ignorant intellect, fall into the pit of samsara. 9th mantra, we'll read. avidyayam bahudhavartamanah. Ninth mantra I'm reading. Avidyayam bahudhavartamanah. Vayam kritartha ityabhi abhimanyanti balah. Avidyayam, I'm reading the ninth mantra of second section of first mundaka. Avidyayam bahudha vartamanah vayam kritartha ityabhimanyanti balah yat karmino na pravedayanti ragat tenaturaha kshinalokaschyavante. I read the mantra again. Avidyayam bahudha vartamanah vayam kritartha ityabhimanyanti balah yat karmino na pravedayanti ragat yat karmino na pravedayanti ragat tenaturaha kshinalokaschyavante tenaturaha kshinalokaschyavante. Avidyayam bahudha vartamanah vayam kritartha ityabhimanyanti balah yat karmino na pravedayanti ragat tenaturaha kshinalokaschyavante. So Upanishad continues to vehemently blames, condemns, criticizes the people who are relying on karma and karma phalam for their moksha. And Upanishad calls such people, those people who are relying on karma and karma phalam as means of attainment of moksha, Upanishad calls them as mudaha. Mudaha means deluded. Muh is the dhatuhu. Muhyati means is deluded. And mohayati causative. Causes delusion. And mudha is a participle. Deluded person. Mudha, deluded. And mudaha, deluded person. And they are mudaha. All those people are deluded people. Deluded people. And who are those people? Okay. People who do not recognize, who do not appreciate the importance and the value of the knowledge of the self. Who do not know the value of self-knowledge. Who do not know the knowledge of the self is the knowledge of the truth of the whole. A knowledge of the truth of the whole is in fact discovery of moksha. Who do not know the value of this knowledge of the truth and who do not know the connection between the knowledge and the moksha. So who do not even have the purusharth nischaya, such people are deluded people. They do not know, if they do not have purusharth nischaya, they cannot know the value of knowledge. Not knowing the value of knowledge, they cannot have any reverence for the Shastram as a means of knowledge. They will not know even how Shastram serves as a means of knowledge. Shastra Pramanyam they do not know. Therefore, they will not be inclined to listen to the subject matter of the Shastram also. They will not know the value of the discipline of Shravanam. Therefore, they cannot listen. Therefore, what happens if they do not listen to the Shastram? And naturally, they will not have any proper, their life will not be guided by the Shastra teaching. How I should live my life? Why I should live my life the way I have to live? They will not know how one should live one's life and for what purpose life is lived. They will not know. So they will not have the guidance of Shastra teaching. Because they don't listen, they do not respect Shastra teaching. Because they do not know the value of Shastra as a Pramana. Because they do not know the value of the knowledge. Because they do not even know there's a connection between knowledge and moksha. They do not even know moksha is Dhamma of Jnanam. Such people, and therefore, they cannot even live their lives properly. And these, those such deluded people who do not listen to the teaching of the Shastram. And they think they are themselves scholars. Avidyayam antare vartamanaha. Already see, they remain steeped in the ignorance. And now, avidyayam bahudha vartamanaha. Bahudha vartamanaha. So they are ignorant. See, they're ignorant means they may be intelligent people, highly academically qualified people, but still they're ignorant of the self. So not only they are ignorant of the self, they're also ignorant in different fields. Bahudha, avidyayam bahudha vartamanaha, remaining in ignorance in many ways. In the remaining ignorant in many different fields, bahudha vartamanaha. But vayam karkritartaha iti abhimanyanti. They think say they have doership, they have enjoyership, and they have, for them, artha becomes the ultimate goal, becomes artha. Artha, money, wealth, assets, name, fame becomes important for them. The pursuit artha is important. But they do not know how money cannot get everything. So they're ignorant of the fact that they are not the doers. Who is the doer of everything? They're ignorant of the doership. They're ignorant of the enjoyership. They're ignorant of even the limitations of what artha kamas can do, what they cannot give. Any accumulation of any amount of artha in terms of money, fame, etc. will not liberate a person, cannot remove the ignorance. Enjoyment of any best of pleasures in the world also cannot remove ignorance, cannot help a person attain everlasting freedom. Therefore, they do not know the limitations of artha kamas. For them, artha, pursuit of artha is important. Accomplishment of enjoyment of pleasures is important. They do not know the limitations of those artha kamas. And they do not even know the limitations of having a family, relationship, etc. Which means The family is important. Very good relationship with the family members and with everybody in the society is very, very important. At the same time, one should not forget, one should remember, one should know the fact that no relationship with anybody in the world, relationship with the family members, relationship with the friends or in the world, or possession of objects, and nothing in the world is permanent. They do not remember this. And then, so, no association can remain forever. Everything will come to an end. Everything has a time limitation. Initially, the parents who are supportive of our lives, they will not be permanent. Then when we get married, husband and wife cannot be permanent for each other. Children of one's own children cannot be permanent forever. So they do not remember. They unfortunately, even though they know the facts, they do not even remember these facts. Therefore, what all preparation a person should have that they do not know. Therefore, but they behave as if everything they possess is going to be there forever permanently, as if they're going to be alive on this world, in this earth forever. That is how they behave. That is how they're attached to things. Therefore, it is said, our own Veda Shastram presents the performance of rituals, emphasize the performance of karma in the karma kanda, and also in upasana kanda, and also has ordained, designed an ashrama called grihastha ashrama. Even though our own Veda Shastram has designed this ashrama life involving the grihastha ashrama, still Shastram never says anywhere that living a householder's life will be everlasting support and means of happiness. Shastram has designed this ashrama called grihastha ashrama specifically for helping people to prepare their minds and to help people to live their lives in tune with the nature, not to go against the nature. So, grihastha ashrama itself is designed for one's learning. It is an institution by itself where both husband and wife are supposed to grow together, remaining as knife and stone for each other. Therefore, how when a person enters into the school, enters into the kindergarten's class, and he learns in order to move on to the next class. And he finishes the school education and he enters into university for more learning more. Always a person enters into an institution to learn more. Similarly, entry into the grihastha ashrama from being a brahmachari is also for further learning and sharpening of intellect, for emotional maturity and intellectual sharpness required for the pursuit of jnanam and to attain the jnanam. Therefore, one has to go through the grihastha ashrama and one has to learn from one's life's experiences, and one must know also how to get out of the grihastha ashrama. Entry into grihastha ashrama is important, and the entry into the grihastha ashrama itself is for a person to learn how to come out of grihastha ashrama also. When we go to schools and we are studying there, And nobody wants to say, I want to remain in this school forever. We all are very happy to quit the school and to move on to the university. When you go to university, we are very happy when you enter to study there. However beautiful the campus is, no student ever wants to sit in the same campus forever. And he wants to leave that place and he wants to look for some other job and go on different work. Always we move on from in life, from one thing to the other. Similarly, Grihastha Ashrama also, we must enter, we must enjoy, we must remain, we must do our duties wholeheartedly, learn from life's experiences, then that should help us, bless us with adequate viveka vairagyam we must get from Grihastha Ashrama. Then we must gradually, withdraw from Grihastha Ashrama lifestyle overnight, gradually withdraw oneself, move on to Vanaprastha Ashrama, then completely quit everything, move on to Sannyasa Ashrama. How one does? Naturally, it should happen. If a person has viveka vairagyam, if a person learns from his life's experiences, he will have viveka, discriminative understanding of limitations of everything in the world. And he will also have vairagyam dispassion, which is the natural expression of one's maturity and understanding of the facts. Thereby, the person can effortlessly, without any pain, he can move on to Vanaprastha Ashrama, then he can also take to life of sannyasa. This is what expected of, this is how every individual is expected to enter into Grihastha Ashrama and also to come out of it. Therefore, so leaving the Grihastha Ashrama does not mean physically giving up overnight the Grihastha Ashrama life and moving away. One has to go through sannyasa mentally. Mentally, one has to leave the Grihastha Ashrama. One has to move on to Vanaprastha Ashrama. One's lifestyle must express one's maturity and viveka vairagyam in the way he lives. And gradually, the person mentally must go through sannyasa. Whether a person really takes the life of sannyasa, wearing the saffron ropes or not, a person must go through sannyasa mentally. That must happen naturally by one's maturity, born of viveka. So, this is the understanding. Okay. But what happens? A person has to, but the people don't understand. Once people enter into Grihastha Ashrama and they get stuck themselves, they're not able to take their minds that easily away from, you know, the dependence upon wife or husband or children or relatives or possessions and positions. One enjoyed as a Grihastha, they're not able to take away. And the dependence is bondage. Dependence for one's security. And happiness is what? Attachment. What is attachment? That is what is emotional dependence is attachment. And it is purely because of one's ignorance of one's own essential nature. Therefore, what Upanishad conveys in this mantra, avidyayam vartamanaha bahudha vartamanaha, means avidya here implies people who remain in ignorance with respect to many fields, means they're emotionally dependent on various types of things. Avidyayam vartamanaha means people remaining ignorant of the self, and they remain steeped in ignorance. Thereby, they are highly emotionally dependent on varieties of things. Therefore, what happens when they remain steeped in ignorance, thereby they become emotionally dependent on various types of things. What happens? they become deluded. So they will be deluded totally. So avidyayam bahudha vartamanaha. And then what do they think? Vayam kritarthaha iti abhimanyanti. Vayam kritarthaha. We are people of accomplishment. Vayam, we, kritarthaha. We are people of great, we are of accomplishment. Kritaha arthaha yaihi te kritarthaha. So kritarthaha means what? We are people of accomplishment. Vayam kritarthaha. We are accomplishers. We are achievers. We have achieved this much. That is the feeling they have. Vayam kritarthaha iti abhimanyanti. See, man dhatuhu, manyate is atmanepadam. But the prefix abhi becomes a parasmipadam. Abhimanyati, abhimanyataha, abhimanyanti. Abhimanyanti means they proudly state. They proudly, proudly state that they are people of accomplishment. Vayam kritarthaha iti abhimanyanti. They're very proud of, proud stating that they are people of achievements, which people of accomplishment. Which means they do not have any value for religious disciplines. They do not have any value for religious disciplines. They think they do not need religious disciplines. And they do not even consider, they do not even consider care for Bhagavan. They think they do not need Bhagavan. They do not need any spiritual life. They do not need any religious disciplines. Of course, they cannot even bother to have any reverence for sadhus. Why? Because by Bhagavan's grace, because of some past punyam, they are blessed with certain comforts. Some comforts they have. They do not know much difficulty in life, hardship in life. So such people think they are people of achievement, accomplishment. Because they have got buying power. They have got money. They have got wealth. So because they are money, they have the capacity to buy anything they want in this life except happiness. So they, as long as they do not have any problems in life, and they are full of themselves. If people have, people are in good position, by again, Bhagavan's grace, by their own past punyam, if they have, they are placed well, if they have good position, if they have manpower, if they have money power, and which means all the planetary positions in their horoscope also are in good, in favorable positions. Then what happened? They think they are people of accomplishments and achievement. But we must remember, karma phalams always, you know, blesses with experience of pairs of opposites. Karma phalam cannot be our own results of previous actions, cannot be always blesses with only desirable situations. That is why we say there's a bhukti parivartanam, dasha parivartanam, you know, and graha parivartanam, etc. We talk about, people talk about when they predict the horoscopes. But they are very proud. They do not know this. And why? Because Shastram says, Balaha, Vayam Kritarthaha Abhimanyanti Balaha. So Balaha, Balo, Balaha. Balaha means boys, young children. But here, these people are not physically young. They are grown up adults. Physically, they are adults. Highly grown up adults. But they are spiritually, they're ignorant of subtle facts. Spiritually, they're ignorant. Therefore, they are, with regard to spiritual understanding, they are children. They're very immature. Balaha means those people are very immature. Only immature people will be proud of their wealth, will be proud of their accomplishments, and they think they are already people of accomplishment. It only shows their immaturity. Therefore, they are said to be Balaha. It means they are emotionally still they are immature. Therefore, they are children. Physically, they are grown adults, but emotionally, they are children. Therefore, it says, Yat karminaha na pravedayanti ragat. Their karminaha. See now, Yat karminaha na pravedayanti ragat. Ragat. Due to their attachment, because of their attachment, karminaha na pravedayanti. Karminaha means what? The people who are attached to karma and results of karma, and who are dependent on performance of rituals, performance of actions and their results for their happiness and security, for everything in life, such people are said to be karminaha. So karminaha na pravedayanti ragat. So due to their attachment, because of their attachment towards karma and karma phalam, na pravedayanti, they do not know. So karminaha means they are attached to karma, means they are attached, people who are attached to, even some people who are performing panchamaha yajnas, who are highly religious people also. Some people who become attached to the religious activities also, not only mundane activities, they become stuck, they get stuck with even religious duties. You mean they are not able to move on to the next ashrama emotionally, mentally. So they become addicted to their grastha ashrama lifestyle. They are grastha ashrama, the duties of householder. They become addicted to, of course, as a grastha, one must do one's duties perfectly, properly. There's no doubt about it. But getting stuck with grastha ashrama's commitments, not able to emotionally, mentally move on to the next stage in keeping with one's age, they remain stuck there because of their ignorance. So na pravedayanti, they are not able to see the limitations of arthakamas at all. They do not see the limitations of the karmas and the results they're able to accomplish as a grihastha at all. Therefore, what happens when they fail to understand the limitations of karma and karma phalam? What happened? Na pravedayanti. Ragat na pravedayanti. Do not see. When they do not see, they do not understand the limitations of karma and karma phalam. Thereby, what happens? Because of that, tena aturaha bhavanti. Aturaha. Aturaha means people who are subject to distress. Aturaha. As a result of which they become later on they become distressed. Later on they become highly distressed people. Why? Because when they fail to see the limitations of karma and karma phalams, and they get so attached to karma and karma phalam, and they're not emotionally get out of it, the result of which they become later on highly distressed people. They will be physically distressed and emotionally highly distressed. And such people the Upanishad says here, Tena Aturaha Kshina Lokaha Chyavante. And how much your punyam they earn. And when they go to higher lokas and exhaust all their punyam living there. And when as the ones who have got their punyams exhausted, Kshina Lokaha, when they get all their punyam as the people who have exhausted their punyam, thereby who lose their eligibility to remain in higher worlds, what happens? They chyavante. Kshina lokaha chyavante. Chyavante means what? They slip away from the higher worlds. So kshina lokaha also means their punyam becomes exhausted. Kshina lokaha. Kshinam punyam yesham te kshina punyaha. Kshina lokaha means kshina punyaha. Such people enjoying the better life always, they get all their punyam exhausted. When the punyam gets exhausted, then the pleasant, desirable condition, desirable situation also will come to an end. Because punyam, no more punyam. How long can have a person conducive, desirable, favorable situation and condition? Only as long as punyam. We should not forget. Whenever we are well placed, we must remember we are exhausting our punyam. And the punyam will get exhausted one day. And once punyam comes to an end, the situation also will change. So any small pleasure we enjoy, we must remember some punyam becomes, you know, spent from our account of sanchita punyam or parabdha punyam. We must remember this fact. Unfortunately, we do not know how our punyam is low gradually. Every day you are eating a good food, you appeased your hunger, you quenched your thirst, you got a cup of water, little punyam has gone. And this whole day you had a good comfortable life, means your punyam has gone, little punyam has gone. So spending the whole day in a good way means you have spent every day or punyam gets exhausted. Therefore, one's kshina lokaha means when a person's all one's punyam becomes exhausted, then naturally the next will be what? There'll be papam also. Therefore, chyavante. Chyavante means they slip away from the enjoyment of desirable, favorable situation into the unfavorable, undesirable situation. Okay. Kshina lokaha chyavante. So, what is the ignorance? Avidyayam bahudha vartamanaha means all various types of emotional dependence is caused by ignorance means. As ignorance of the truth of I. Ignorance of the content of the I. When we use many words and we always use the words knowing their meanings. If I say, please bring the table, you understand the meaning of every word. Please get me a cup of water. Come on, here is a coffee, please have it. Are any words uttered, you understand the meaning of every word. Somebody says, he is coming or she is going. You understand the meaning of the word he or she. That pronoun refers to somebody. You understand? But still, whenever we use the pronoun I, the first person singular pronoun I, actually what do we refer to? We do not know. We really do not know the meaning of the word I. And mistake the body, mind, sense complex, which are not actually the meaning of the word I, as the meanings. So there's ignorance of the truth of I, thereby there's erroneous perception of the truth of I also. And this is what this ignorance, there's ignorance of the ignorance of the self, and therefore there's ignorance of this truth of I, the surupam of I, because the truth of I, the content of I, is actually the all-pervasive consciousness implied by the tamatma. But we do not know. We mistake the anatma, body, mind, and complex as the meaning of the word I. So helplessly, choicelessly, ajnanam is uncreated. The naturally existing ajnanam also contributes for erroneous self-perception, misconception. And when there is error in the perception of myself, I mean mistake the body, mind, and complex as for myself, then naturally, there becomes a pseudo-I. There becomes the pseudo-I projected. Therefore, the self-ignorance contributes for the creation of the pseudo-I, fake-I. Okay, which is said to be what now? Ahankaraha. Ahankaraha means, please understand what ahankara is. Aham means I. Aham asmi, I am, means it is knowledge of self-existence. But if I mistake something else for myself, anything if I add it to aham asmi, that becomes erroneous notion I have about myself. I am is knowledge. I am a woman. I am a man. They're all relatively correct, but absolutely they're all wrong. Misconceptions. And this erroneous notion one has about oneself, because of the ignorance of the self and because of erroneous self-perception, is alone said to be ahankaraha. Erroneous notion one entertains about oneself alone is said to be ahankara. So ahankara is a production of erroneous self-perception, which is caused by self-ignorance, ahankara. And only when there is ahankara, when I entertain a wrong notion about myself, that is when I have what now? I become a person of many personalities. I, the person, happens to have different personalities. When I say I am the knower, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, aham karta, aham bhokta, aham drashta, aham shrota, aham jnata, I am the seer, I am the doer, I am the performer, I am the enjoyer. All these qualifications are attributed to the knowledge of self-existence. I am, I. Okay, unqualified I, the Atma, become qualified. Many qualifications are attributed to the I. As what? Jnata, knower, karta, doer, bhakta, enjoyer, shrota, hearer, vakta, speaker, etc. Therefore, this is what? This ahankaraha. And as an ahankari, as the one having ahankara, as the one having ahankara means what? As an individual endowed with erroneous notion about the self, then what happens? There is always sense of inadequacy, sense of limitation centered on I. There is apurnata, apurnata, sense of inadequacy, sense of limitation centered on I. And because of this, there's a desire comes. I want to be bigger than what I am. I want to become full. I want to be full. I want to be happy. And this fundamental desire gives rise to many other desires. And desires contribute for actions. And actions produce results. Results have get accumulated as sanchitam karma. And again, portion of which has to be exhausted as paradha karma. While exhausting the paradha karma, again one accumulates new karma. Therefore, one accumulates new pop, agami karma also. This is how one gets bound by samsara. Okay? And what happens? This is how the person continues to remain in samsara forever. Avidyayam antare vartamanah. Avidyayam bahuda avidyayam vartamanah. Vayam krithartah itya abhimanyanti balaha abhimanyanti. Yet karminah na pravedayanti ragat. Therefore, what happened? Tena aturaha bhavanti means what? Finally, they continue to remain in samsara means they become afflicted by the problems of samsara. Therefore, kshina lokaha chyavante, when their punyam becomes exhausted, they have to also go through the other situation of pains, undesirable situation. Okay. So, Upanishad, having discussed how the ignorance contributes for samsara, now in this following mantra, let us see next mantra. Ishtapurtam. Ishtapurtam manyamana varishtam. Ishtapurtam manyamana varishtam. Ishtapurtam manyamana varishtam. Nanyachreyo vedayante pramodhah. Nanyachreyo vedayante pramodhah. Nanyachreyo vedayante pramodhah. Nakasya prishthe te sukrute nubhutva. Nakasya prishthe te sukrute nubhutva. Imam lokam hinataram vavishanti. Imam lokam hinataram vavishanti. Ishtapurtam manyamana varishtam. Nanyachreyo vedayante pramodhah. Nakasya prishthete sukrute no bhotva. Imam lokam hinataram vavishanti. Upanishad further frightens us, saying bitter facts. Okay. Sometimes when bitter facts are told, it is not very pleasant to hear, but Upanishad really frightens us or really makes us feel very upset by saying some bitter facts. But not with an intention of making us unhappy, but with an intention of correcting our, waking us up. Okay? With the intention of at least get out of the samsara, Upanishad teaches, says this. Now, Ishtapurtam manyamanaha varishtham. Now, Upanishad, of course, first criticized people who are people who are not even religious. Then Upanishad also now in this mantra, Upanishad simply criticizes, vehemently condemns people who are very proud of their being religious. Now we can see some people, in they feel very proud that they have three churnam and they have basma on their forehead, they go to temples correctly, they pray. People are very proud, some people are very proud. See, they're all religious disciplines are very, very important. But being proud of their activities is some, again, expression of immaturity. So Upanishad here, really, see, there are people who get attached to their mundane activities, but there are people who are proper grihasthas, very pious people, but still they also get stuck with their own religious duties. So Upanishad, in this specific mantra, Upanishad criticizes, condemns vehemently people who are attached to their even religious duties, religious activities. You see, a spiritual aspirant must be choicelessly religious and ethical. But one should not get stuck with religious duties. Because finally, spiritual life, religious life, following religious disciplines, everything is ultimately for one to become qualified for spiritual pursuit. Spiritual end is the ultimate end. Spiritual knowledge is the ultimate goal. And these are all preparatory stepping stones, disciplines. So one should not stuck with the very stepping stone itself. So what Upanishad says, there are some people who are attached to their own religious activities. There are people who are very much attached to their mundane activities which contribute for accomplishment of material wealth. But there are people who also become attached to their religious activities. And they, what do they think? They also think always performing rituals, enjoying the benefits of rituals itself is the ultimate goal. The whole life is lived only for the purpose of performing rituals, praying, worshipping, and then that's what they think. Of course, praying is a must, worshipping is a must, and performing rituals, etc. is very must, important. But that is not the end of life. That is not the ultimate goal of life. They should not lose sight of their ultimate goal. So Upanishad condemns here. See, there are people who involve themselves in activities of two types. There are people who involve themselves in activities of two types. What are they? And those activities are actually, of course, prescribed in the Veda Shastram itself. Those activities of two types are prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda Shastram itself. Even if it is prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda Shastram itself, Veda Shastram does not want people to remain stuck only with the Karmakanda. Veda Shastram wants people to move on to Jnanakanda. It is like saying, suppose when you are a child, your parents get you a toy. And which mother will buy a toy to her son or daughter, thinking, I am buying this toy, so my child must be playing with this toy throughout her life, throughout his life. Will any mother think? No mother or father will buy any toy for their children, expecting the child to play with the toy throughout her life, throughout his life. They want the child to play with the toy. Parents will expect the child to play with the toy. They want the child to enjoy the pleasure of playing with the toy. At the same time, every parent is very consciously expect the child to grow out of desire for playing with the toy. Don't they? Of course. Suppose, imagine, after becoming 16, 17, 18, 20, if you, all the time you're sitting and playing with the toy, not doing what you have to be doing, the mother will feel bad. Oh my God, why did I get this toy for this fellow? That's what mother will think. So, Veda Shastram also prescribes karma, karma kanda, all rituals, and like what? Like how our parents get us toys when we are children. But Veda Mata wants us to enjoy, perform rituals, enjoy the benefits of rituals, have the pleasure of enjoying those benefits. At the same time, Veda Mata expects us to understand the limitations of everything, so that one can gradually move on to Jnana Kanda. Isn't it? So here, there are two types of activities enjoined by the Veda Shastram in the portion called Karma Kanda. What are those two types of activities? Upanishad says in this mantra, Ishtam Karma and Purtam Karma. Ishtam Purtam, together Upanishad says Ishtapurtam. Ishtapurtam is one word, but we should take it as how? Ishtam Karma and Purtam Karma are two types of activities prescribed in the Shastram, the Karma Kanda of the Veda. So, Ishtam Karma means, see, Ish here means puja, okay? So, Ishtam means worship. Ishtam means worship. Therefore, religious activities, all forms of religious activities, all types of religious karma, Vaidikam karma, all types of Vaidikam karma, sacred religious activities, come under the category of Ishtam karma. See, when you perform Ganapati Homaha or Sudarshana Homaha, I'm giving example of simple what we know, okay? When we have house warming ceremony or temple Kumbhabhishekam or any marriage, Upanayanam, we perform many rituals. And there's a performance of Rudra Parayanam, Maharudram, and we perform Laksharchana, Koti Archana, and varieties of, we do big pujas, Shashtyabda Purti, Shatabhishekam, Kanakabhishekam, like various. See, mantra, when we perform any different samskaras also, there are all samskaras involve religious activities, worships, religious disciplines actually. They're all disciplines also. So we do, Shastram does prescribe and we do perform all of them. They all come under the category of Ishtam Karma. So it is very important to perform rituals such as performing homas, etc. But what Upanishad says, one should learn to grow out of desire for performing such rituals and enjoying their benefits also. How? By knowing the greater value of knowledge. But here, Upanishad, but people who are given to such rich performance of rituals, they get stagnant, they get stuck, that they're not able to give up that, they're not able to move on to the pursuit of jnanam. Okay. Then we also have, so Ishtam. If you ask me, how do we get this word Ishtam? Okay, there's a root called, it's a Yajiti Dhatu. There's a Dhatu called Yaj. And it's a உபயபதி தாது யஜதி யஜதே. யஜதி யஜதே மீன்ஸ் வர்ஷிப்ஸ், பர்ஃபார்ம்ஸ் அ ரிச்சுவல். சோ வேதிக் ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் வர்ஷிப் இஸ் கால்ட் வாட்? யாகஹ, யஜ்ஞஹ. யாகஹ, யஜ்ஞஹ, க்ரதுஹு, தீஸ் ஆர் ஆல் தி வேர்ட்ஸ் யூஸ்ட் டு மீன் தி வேதிக் ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் வர்ஷிப். அண்ட் இஷ்டம், இஷ்டம் இஸ் அ பாஸ்ட் பாசிவ் பார்ட்டிசிபிள் ஆஃப் த ரூட் இஷ். யூ கெட் த வேர்ட் இச்சதி. இச்சதி மீன்ஸ் லைக்ஸ், டிசையர்ஸ். இச்சதி அண்ட் இச்சதி, ஃப்ரம் திஸ் வேர்ட் இச்சதி, இஃப் யூ டேக் திஸ் வேர்ப் இச்சதி இட் செல்ஃப், இச்சதி மீன்ஸ் லைக்ஸ். பாலகா லட்டுக்கம் இச்சதி, பாய் லைக்ஸ் லட்டு. டிசையர்ஸ், இச்சதி, டிசையர்ஸ், லைக்ஸ். அண்ட் ரூட் இஸ் இஷ். அண்ட் இஃப் யூ ஆட் தப்ரத்யாந்த, மேக் இட் தப்ரத்யாந்த சப்தா, இட் பிகம்ஸ் இஷ்ட. இஷ்ட மீன்ஸ் டிசையர்ட். இஷ்ட மீன்ஸ் டிசையர்ட், லைக்ட். இன் தமிழ் ஆல்சோ விசே எனக்கு இஷ்டம். சோ இஷ்டம் இஸ் ஆக்சுவலி, people who hate Sanskritam, also Tamil people, they have to remember this fact. We use the word ishtam. Ishtam is a past passive participle of the root, derived from the root ish, ichchati. Ishtam means desired. So when the ritual is performed, any puja is performed, ritual is performed with an intention of accomplishing the desired end. Desired end. So invoking the grace of any devata, your ritual is performed. Naturally, that performance of ritual, by the grace of the devata invoked, blesses a person with accomplishment of something desired, desirable. Therefore, that ritual also, any form of worship, any type of religious activity is known as ishtam karma. And here, this word ishtam, in this, the word ishtam used in this mantra is also derived from the root yaj, yajate, from which we form the verb yajate. The word ishtam used in this mantra is derived from the root yaj. Yaj means to perform a ritual. So shastram presents its own definition of this word ishtam. Please listen to me carefully. Shastram presents its own definition of the word ishtam used here, used in this mantra. What does shastram say? Agnihotram tapasatyam vedanancha anupalanam atityam vaishvadevam cha ishtamityabhidhiyate. Shastra's definition of ishtam. It is not in the mantra. If you want, you can write it down. Agnihotram tapasatyam. Agnihotram tapasatyam. Vedanancha anupalanam. Agnihotram tapasatyam. வேதானாஞ்ச அனுபாலனம். ஆதித்யம் ஆதித்யம் ஆதித்யம். வைஷ்வதேவஞ்ச வைஷ்வதேவஞ்ச இஷ்டம் இதி அபிதீயதே. இஷ்டம் இதி அபிதீயதே. வி வாண்ட் டு நோ வாட் இஸ் இஷ்ட கர்மா. What is ishta karma? What is ishtam karma? Shastram says, First of all, Agnihotram. Agnihotram is the simplest and the smallest of the rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda, which is a Nitya Karma. It's a daily worship of Bhagavan in the form of Devatas through the performance of ritual called Agnihotram. This is the simplest and the smallest of the rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda. And then Agnihotram, then Tapaha. So Agnihotram also implies what? Doing regularly, having the habit of regularly reciting the mantras of one's own shaka, one's own branch of the Veda. Or even studying the Veda with the commitment also is what? Vedadhyayanam also is a ishtam karma. It's a form of worship. See, doing the par, if you have learned, when you learn with Shraddha, Purusha Suktam, Medha Suktam, etc., it is Vedadhyayanam. It is not proper adhyayanam, at least what possible effort. So Vedadhyayanam, it's the learning of the mantra is a worship. Please understand all those who are Parayana chanting class. Even trying to learn correctly, properly the pronunciation, intonation, swaras, etc. Properly learning to chant is called Vedadhyayanam. Is also a form of worship. And then after having learned Purusha Suktam, etc. and doing the chanting of those mantras correctly as you have learned properly, chanting them again properly is also what? Veda Parayanam, that is also a form of worship. So Veda Adhyayanam is a form of worship. Veda Parayanam is a form of worship. Even performing Agnihotram, Nitya Agnihotram is a worship. It's all rituals. Okay, it's all come. We have to understand. Then Tapaha. Tapas means penance, austerity. So following certain vows strictly, even causing, inflicting pain on oneself for one's own well-being is called tapas. And even though I feel very hungry on Ekadashi, still I try to fast on Ekadashi. And very difficult for me to keep awake the whole night, but still I try my best to keep awake at least once in a year on Shivaratri day, etc. Okay, this is all following strictly certain disciplines, inflicting pain also to oneself, just for one's own betterment, for spiritual growth. Tapas. Then Atithyam means what? Being a good host. Atithyam means Atithi Puja. Even involving oneself, even offering, taking care of guests properly is also Atithi Puja, is Atithyam, hospitality. So, like whatever we do, Atithyam, then Vaishvadevam. Vaishvadevam means invoking the grace of different devatas, all devatas, Vaishvadevam. So all these together come under the category of Ishtam. So Ishtam means all forms of, all types of religious activities. Okay. Now some people get stuck with this Ishtam Karma. See, performing Ishtam Karma, any Ishtam Karma, any type of Ishtam Karma must be for Antahkarana Shuddhi, must be for Antahkarana Naishchalyam, must be for preparing one's mind ultimately for Jnanam and Moksha. Instead, these people simply follow these rituals without having any interest in spiritual knowledge. They do this only because it is good to do that and they can earn punyam. Only for earning punyam to be good without an interest in spiritual knowledge, when people perform these rituals, then those rituals become very, they're binding action rituals. Ishtam karma. Then Purtam. Now move on to Purtam. What does the word Purtam means? Purtam implies, so Ishtam karma, when a person performs all types of religious activities performed for earning punyam and for one's well-being. One's own well-being. And here, the Purtam karma, see, Ishtam karma also can be done for the wellness of others also. But here, Purtam karma means contributing for social activities performed for social wellness, with social awareness. So, performance of activities which contribute for the social welfare. So, social service activities come under the category of Purtam karma. And Shastram defines Purtam karma also as what? Vapi kopatatagadi vapi. We want, you can write it down. It's not compulsory, you must write. If you want, you can write it down. What is Purtam karma? Shastram defines Purtam karma as Vapi Kupa Tatagadi Tatagadi Tatagaha means pond, lake. Vapi Kupa Tatagadi Devata Ayatanani Devata Ayatanani Vapi Kupa Tatagadi Devata Ayatanani Cha Anna Pradhanam Anna Pradhanam Aramaha Anna Pradhanam Arama Ashramaha Aramaha. Two verses. Purtamityabhidhiyate. Purtamityabhidhiyate. What is Purtam karma? Vapi. Kupaha. Vapi means tanks. Kupaha means wells. Tatagaha means lakes, ponds. So, digging, creating wells. Nowadays we have bore wells. Building tanks for the public welfare and even creating lakes. We can include now what? Devata Ayatanani, building temples. And Annapradhanam, Aramaha. Aramaha means places of resting, chowl trees. Tamil we say chatram. Annapradhanam, Aramaha, Aramaha, the places of resting, mean pilgrim centers, the places for resting, for relaxation of the pilgrims. Because in India we need, because temples are very far, people have to go, they need to rest somewhere. Of course, nowadays we can include constructing schools, education institutions, hospitals, you know, even planting trees on the roadside. Like that, no? Doing anything for protecting, the environment wellness, social wellness, public welfare, all the activities come under the category of Purtam karma. So, Purta karmani, Ishta karmani. And there are people who get addicted to this Purta karma and Ishta karma. They are very nice. They are not papa karmas. Very nice punya karmas. Punya karma also one must do only punya karma. But gradually one must, that performance of punya karmas in terms of Ishta karmani, Purta karmani must contribute for one's mental preparedness. One must discover Viveka. One must have Vairagyam. And one must move on to the pursuit of jnanam. But these people who are involved in this Ishtam karma and Purtam karma, Varishtam manyamanaha. Oh, there's nothing greater, nothing superior, nothing other than doing any social service activities. They also will say what? Manava seva. See, Bhagavan does say. Manushya seva, Madhava seva. No doubt. Naraseva, Narayana seva. Who can deny it? Of course, when you serve the people, because there's no people, everybody is Bhagavan only. So service to the people, of course, is service to Bhagavan. So service to Bhagavan in the form of people, in the form of plants, in the form of other beings is fine, perfect, beautiful. That is how we must live our life. We have to live a life of seva to the society, seva to people and beings around us. But the seva should not keep us only in seva. Seva must bless us with the internal refinement. The seva we do must contribute for the internal, emotional, mental refinement. That there must be viveka, there must be vairagyam, and one must be given to the pursuit of jnanam. One should not get stuck with this whole life. Of course, the life must be a life of service activities. Nothing wrong. Ishtam, one's life, person's life must be filled with definitely ishtapurta karmas. But that they should not be only, they should not be taken as the ultimate goals. See, performance of ishtam karma or purtam karma are only stepping stones, are only means to accomplish the end. They themselves are not the ultimate goal. Even the performance of ishtam karma and purtam karma and enjoyment of their results itself is not ultimate goal. So, but here Upanishad condemns those people who think varishtam manyamanaha. They think this performing ishtam karma is the greatest achievement, greatest thing. And involving oneself in social service activities alone is the ultimate goal. It is the greatest. Varishtam. It is nothing bigger or greater than doing ishtam karma and varishtam karma. This is what these people think. So Upanishad says, ishtapurtam varishtam manyamanaha. They think varishtam. See, varaha, good. Varyan, better. Varishtam, best. Okay, varishta means superlative degree. There are people, manyamanaha, who consider, who think that ishtam karma and purtam karma as the greatest accomplishment. Performing these karmas itself is the greatest accomplishment for them. And then, anyata shreyaha na vedayante. They do not know, na vedayante, they do not know, unfortunately, anyata shreyaha. There is the ultimate good, shreyas. Anyata shreyaha means there is another ultimate good, absolute good in terms of mokshaha, which has to be discovered through the discovery of the self. Now, for which one must be given to the discipline of Shravanam and Mananam. That they do not know. So they think performing ishtam karma as the greatest thing, as the ultimate goal. They take this performing, involving oneself in purtam karma, the social service activities, as the ultimate thing. Thereby what happens? They do not know there's something really ultimate goal called mokshaha in the form of jnanam. So one must be given to the study of the shastram, etc. They do not understand. Anyate shreyaha na vedayante pramudhaha. These people are really deluded. They're also deluded. They're nice people. They're not wicked people. They're not wicked. They're not crooks. They're not wrong people. They're very good, pious people who always spend their time in worshipping, praying, performing rituals. Very pious people, righteous people. And so righteous that they feel for others, fellow beings. And they do a lot of service activities. Fine, perfect. But unfortunately, they get stuck there. They think this is the end of life. The life itself only for this. They do not think of moksha, jnanam as something superior, something greater, which they must accomplish. So, pramodaha, they are also deluded. such people, what do they do? By performing the ishtakarmani, by performing the religious activities, sacred religious activities, they accumulate abundance of punyam. They are not wrongdoers. They are pious people. They accumulate law abundance of punyam. And some people, purtam karma, other people also by doing lot of social service activities selflessly, they also, this is also addiction. And they had a lot of pleasure. There's a tremendous pleasure in performing, in doing any social service activities. So they get addicted to that pleasure they have in doing social service activities. So purtam karma, what happens? They, by performing lots of purtam karma selflessly, they do lot of social service activities. So they also earn abundance of punyam. Because however great purtam karma you do, still that karma palam will not be resolution of ignorance. No punyam can ever help you resolve your ignorance. It is jnanam, jnanam, jnanam alone will resolve your ignorance. Therefore, ignorance caused samsara can be, overcome only with the weapon of jnanam. But unfortunately, even though these people are pious people who involve themselves only in performing rituals and Vedic rituals and Vaidikam karma, all ritual good for our society and for themselves, and Purtam karma, but they think this is the end of life. Therefore, they take that as the greatest. Performing this karma has become the greatest end. So, Anyata Shreyaha Na Vedayante. Such people, deluded people, earn abundance of punyam. Earn abundance of punyam as a result of performing Ishta Karmani and Puta Karmani, religious activities and social service activities. Then what happened? As a result of that punyam, they go to heaven. Nakaha means heaven. They go to heaven and they, nakasya prishte, on the top of the heaven, they enjoy the heavenly life, enjoy the heavenly pleasures, as a result of the punyam they have earned through their beautiful act deeds. Then sukrute anubhutva. Sukrute anubhuya, but in Vedic usage, chandasa prayogaha is what? Sukrute anubhutva. Having enjoyed the punyam, sukrutam, where in heaven, nakasya prishte, then what happens? They exhaust all their punyam. As long as they have punyam, they live in higher lokas in heaven. Nakasya prishte sukrute anubhutva. Then what happened? When the punyam gets exhausted, when the account, punyam account becomes nil account, imam lokam heenataram vavishanti. They return back to this world of human beings, or sometimes they go to even the worlds inferior to the worlds of human beings. Heenan imam lokam, this world of mortals, human beings, or heenataram, they even vishanti, they enter, they return, they enter into the world of even beings of inferior order or inferior caliber, worlds of inferior worlds. They enter into this world or they go to even lower worlds. Why? Because in keeping with whatever set of punya papam they have in their account, they go to other, come back. There's no moksha here. Upanishad wants us, there's no moksha here. Okay. This was, I think we will continue next class. Okay. The last bit, I have to say something. Is it clear now? Why heaven is called Nakaha? I tell you. Akaha. Akaha means pain. Na akaha. Actually, kam means happiness. Kam means happiness. Akam means pain. Na akam yatra. Where there is no pain. Where there is only pleasure. Therefore, seven is called a place of enjoyment of only painless pleasure. Place of the enjoyment of painless pleasure is what? Heaven. But here we have, we enjoy pleasures involving pain. Pain mixed pleasure. In Bhulvaka we enjoy pain mixed pleasure. In heaven we can enjoy pain free pleasure. But anyway, any pleasure is time bound in nature. Painful pleasure, pain mixed pleasure, pain free pleasure, any pleasure is time bound in nature. Okay. Nakasya prishte sukrute anubhuya. Having enjoyed the results of punyam, sukrutam, right deeds, for a long time in the heaven. When punyam gets exhausted, they imam lokam vishanti, they return to this world. Imam lokam, this world. Or hinataram. Suppose the next set of paradha is not a good paradha, then we may happen to go to even a world which is lower than this. So falling from a very high place to much lower place means what? It is not good, isn't it? How? In keeping the distance of where you fall from to where you fall, the pain will be more. So Upanishad warns us. See, life should not be without religious life, religious activities. Without ishtam karma and purtam karma, life should not be. But life should not become, this should not become the end of our life. Okay? So we will, this I'll explain again next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.